Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Hello and welcome to Father's Day. Gigantic happy Father's Day out there for all you dads. It's a fantastic day, but today's message, regardless of whether you're a father, man, dude, or a woman, married, single, divorced, going through heartache, you're the happiest you've ever been. Today's message is for you regardless. I'm happy that you took the time out to check out today's, what's happening today. 50% of what I say will make no sense. It's complete nonsense, and the other 50% will change your life, and it will be your job throughout the message to comment in on the chat, to let me know which parts you think are which. We're going to be going through some Father's Day love and intermingle through our Acts series. I think Acts is a fantastic metaphor for parenting. You see, in the book of Acts, something is born, and then we watch something grow. And that whole aspect of fatherhood, so if I use lots of dad examples today, it still applies to you. Just work with it, insert whatever you need to insert there. So for those of you who either are dads or want to be a dad or anything like that, it's going to be applicable. Grab something out of it today. Because everyone's father and fatherhood experiences will be different, whether your dad. I can tell you my dad, it was crazy. I used to get beaten with an actual camera. I still have flashbacks about the whole thing. And it's whatever childhood things are, whatever you went through, it was these experiences of watching something go from born to the process of what it becomes, and that very much takes me through Acts. For those of you who are interested in materials online, you can head to the notes section, print those off. Some people still do use printers. I got my dad a printer for Father's Day. He's asking me what to do. I was like, Control-P, and he's like, I haven't been able to Control-P for years. And so whatever your particular situation is, the notes are there, the notes are available for you. Follow along with me today. Let's have some fun, enjoy your Father's Day, and let's hear from God. Where are you leading your family? Where is this ship going? So I believe that the family is a microcosm of church and the larger community. Family and the direction that I take things is very much in line with this book of Acts. You see, something was born, something was gifted to us in the book of Acts to follow the journey, the creation, the beginnings of the church, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and watching these things progress into what they become. I'm going to frame Acts for you, frame it up in this idea of a gift given and a responsibility to go along with it. Some of these are some parenting lessons intermixed with some Jesus-y lessons, and you sort it out. Here's a photo of me in the upper room. I had a chance to go to Jerusalem, and this is a picture of me in the upper room, where it's believed that that's the location where the tongues of fire fell and the Holy Spirit, that first big introduction of the Holy Spirit, birthing of the church, happened. It's also believed that that upper room is the same place where the Last Supper was held. And at that moment, something was born. Something great came out. And it says in Acts 1 and 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. For what? For what will you receive this gift? This gift is given But what's it for? You see, gifts and responsibility are often linked together. You're given something and then you're responsible for something. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You've been given a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what's your responsibility to it? Here's some fun stuff along the way. In my house, as soon as the kids were born, as soon as they were able, and you know, maybe it's a few months, and they really start engaging, and you know, the head comes up, and they can start playing with toys. As soon as you were able to pull out toys and play with toys, we included you. You were responsible for cleaning that junk up. And so maybe like you sing the cleanup song and everybody everywhere, everybody do your share, because you don't want your kids to be useless, messy. It just drives you, maybe that drives you crazy, drives me absolutely bonkers. So as soon as they were able, you participate in cleanup. As soon as you're able to hold cutlery and not stab yourself, you became responsible for putting your stuff in the dishwasher or taking it to the counter. You see, when something was born like that, these things that were given, whether it was toys or food or however it was, whatever was given, there was a responsibility that came alongside of it. In my house, the way it is with my kids, when you turn 12, you get a new privilege. You get a tablet. We do not do it before them, but as soon as you hit 12, you have access. You have your own tablet. Along with that comes that you must do your own laundry. So here is a gift, and alongside of that is that you start doing your own laundry, and of course we walk you through it. But the idea is that you're not useless. Now, as this whole thing kind of moves and progresses, it goes, here's a gift, and here's a responsibility to go with it. Along with that turning of 12, you get to do a trip. For my son, Max, he went through and he hit his 12th birthday, and then we were going to be heading in to do a cruise together. And we also do this thing, this passport to purity, where we talk about sex, drugs, rock and roll, and just life, things that'll start to hit you as a teenager. So 12 is a big deal at my house. So you get this responsibility. And so, here's a picture of us. We were out on this trip that happened during this COVID time, so we couldn't go away. So we said, you know, it'll be fun. Let's sleep in the back of a van for a week. We'll pile up our blankets. We will move locations every night. We will sleep in secret locations. We went from Deep Cove, and we were in Coquitlam. We slept in White Rock while he was still going to school full time and while I was still working full time. We'd get up in the morning, and part of the deal was you got to make breakfast. And so we'd be in a park and cooking bacon and eggs, and had a fantastic time. The cops came, and it's like, what are you doing? It's like, we're cooking bacon and eggs. And he's like, well, why aren't you doing this at home? We're like, it's because we're in a park, and this is fun. And we had a fun laugh with him and enjoyed the interaction. It was a great experience. Along with this gift was this responsibilities to go along with it. We learn about Christian dating and what it's like to be a man of faith, and we take time to go through this process. Here's an aside, weird one that has popped into my head. When I remember going through when I was in youth group, and you're always encouraged, it's like, we're brothers and sisters, and you talk about Christian dating, and so she's my sister in faith, and you gotta make sure you respect her and be respectful of her, and how would you conduct yourself if it was your sister? And I've always found that like a noble idea and a little bit weird, because at some point or another, you're going to be like, I think my sister is kind of hot, and it's kind of weird, and I'm like, am I from like Chilliwack? Like, it's weird, which begs the question that if you get divorced in Chilliwack, is she still your sister? It's a complete aside, but we wanted to learn and train them through in these things. This is the responsibility that comes along with the gift. Now, what happened to the early church? They were given this gift of the Holy Spirit. What for? What is the responsibility that comes along with it? It's not like, oh, here's the Holy Spirit for you. There was something that came alongside it. So you could be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So it's not just a sit and you know, it's like, oh, great. I just say, pop Holy Spirit in my back pocket. He's a guide, a counselor, a healer, a confidant. You've been given this gift, and your responsibility is not just for you, but to take that gift and go to the end of the earth and make disciples. You see, you get a gift, and then you have a responsibility to it. Cell phones don't show up in my house until you're 16. So some of you can just be thankful that I'm not your dad. So even if you walk away today saying, I'm thankful that guy's not my dad, whatever. There's some great research on why I've chosen, and my wife and I have chosen to go that particular route. And it's hard. It's a challenge, and you get pressure, and there's this and that. But there's some gifts that I think take you to a different level that the responsibilities start matching up better once you hit 16. So that's the way some of that goes in my house. You've been given a gift and the responsibilities that go along with it. What are you doing with your Holy Spirit gift? Is it something that you just cherish tightly, close the curtains? Is it something that you lavish out a gift that's been given to you so that you can be Jesus' witness? Not in weird, creepy ways, but just being the light of the world, being the salt of the earth. And so my encouragement on this Father's Day, you know, this idea of a gift and a responsibility, are you being as responsible for the Holy Spirit as you would want to be? Is there a new place where you can take it up? Where you're leading your family, is there a new place where we can take it up? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. There's other gifts given in that we see in the book of Acts. We see the birth, the gift of church community and the fulfillment that comes with it. Acts 1:14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Acts 2:44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Acts 2:46, every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Acts 4:24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together. They raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. Acts 5:12. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. We have multiple examples of just this outstretching, this birth of the church and the unity. And we would be told, we would be known by our love one for another. And so this early painting of the church was for a birthing of community, a community in faith. And what was the responsibility that went along with it? The fulfillment. Now, it's not easy sometimes to keep a variety of thoughts and opinions and whatnot together. And so the early church goes, that sounds amazing. You're hanging out, enjoying, eating with one another and building each other up and getting worked up. And as a family man, I love when these opportunities pop up and we're goofing around with the family. We could be, you know, mini golfing or whatever. And you know that community, that camaraderie sense that comes around. And maybe you've joined in and you have a small grouping of people that you get together with, or you're at church. I'm a huge advocate of live church. And so there's a difference of opinions that float around on the current events. And so there's, so what to do with current events and varieties of opinions in the church. I came across a fantastic joke from Emo Phillips. And he says this. Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, "Don't do it," he said. He said, "No one loves me." I said, "God loves you. Do you believe in God?" He said, "Yes," I said. "Are you a Christian?" he said. He said, "I am." He said, "Me too. Are you a Protestant or a Catholic?" He said, "I'm Protestant." And he said, "Me too. What denomination? Are you Baptist?" "Yeah, I'm Baptist." "Me too. You Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist?" "Northern Baptist." "Me too." "Northern Baptist, Liberal Baptist or Northern Conservative Baptist?" Said, "Northern Conservative Baptist." "Oh, me too." "Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist, Eastern region?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist, Great Lakes region." I said, "Me too." "Northern Great Lakes Baptist Region Council of 1912 or Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region 1879. I said, "Northern Conservative Great Lakes Baptist Region 1912. And I said, "Die, heretic." And I pushed him off the bridge. And sometimes I feel that sums up some parts of church, where you can say, we agree here, we agree here, we agree here. Oh, we have differences of opinion here. Die, heretic, and off the bridge. And that is not Calvary. That is not the church we promote. That is not the church that I read in the scripture. But this is a condition that the church is coming back to as we navigate the end of COVID. Here's an illustration I'll pop up on the screen of a bell curve. For a lot of our time, church, it's kind of in the middle of the bell curve. You got different points of view, and that's fine. You got different points of view, that's fine. And we focus on, like, these main things. Jesus Christ, God's Son, dying for you. Savior of the world, freedom through the shed blood of Jesus, available for you. This middle pool of commonality and belief. And somewhere along the line, you can see that second, that image below, where it's shifted. And instead of it being a nice full commonality, it starts to divide out. And it's actually quite maddening. So I'll throw out some personal things for me, and then wherever they land for you, you can feel free to comment or email me or whatever, but follow along with what I'm saying. Lockdown measures through COVID. I didn't agree with them. I don't like them, but I obeyed. I thought many were nonsense. I'm not thrilled with the idea of pastors being sent to jail for holding church services. Maybe I'm old-fashioned like that. This idea of, I was actually under the misconception that what I've been doing for the last 30 years of bringing church together, bringing community together, bringing people together is actually helpful. And so from my side of things, when I see, I saw marriage is starting to fall apart. I see people, depression starting to increase, people hitting substances that never had addiction problems before, moving into these sorts of things. And I'm like, I know what helped that. And then to have the door shut on that opportunity made me crazy. I obeyed, but I disagree. You might be thinking, actually, I think we should have locked down harder. I think we should have been more stringent. There might be parts of me that want to say, "Die, heretic," and push you off a bridge. But I can't. But it's not possible, because I'm compelled by the Gospels. I'm compelled by books like Acts that show a unity, a coming together, that we don't have to agree on every last thing and how it was done, because you are my brother. You are my sister. We are family together, and I'm not prepared to throw away the gift. You catch me? I'm not prepared to put that to the side. Thank Jesus for some online things, but personally, having some of the live opportunities available has just been a blessing to just Christian Vince. It's been helpful. So wherever you're at with some beliefs or some ideologies along the side, I'm encouraging you, Pastor Vince Hat, to bring this thing back together. Some stuff, whether 1812, 1889 council, let it go, man. Bring it back together. Here's a fantastic personal example. So people come and ask me, and they're like, oh, you know, Vince, are you vaccinated yet? I'm like, oh, here we go. This is happening. And so there's a public broadcast, and I can just tell you from my personal example, because I believe family is a microcosm of the church and of the community. And so in my house is, my wife is an educated healthcare professional, tons of schooling and research. And so she's very much, she's been shot twice, vaccinated up, and so she's good. And I've had zero. So because we're one flesh, I like to think that we both had one, but I'm not sure the math is correct. You pastor me, what would you have me do? Should I blow apart family for something so insanely idiotic? Is that what you'd advise me? Or would you say, Vince, get your junk together, man, and look past and think of all the unity, the commonality, and bring that thing back together? If you said anything but the latter, you'd be a terrible pastor. The message I see through the gospel, we would be known by our love. Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on me, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. I'm not intended to blow things apart. And when I think about how this comes into our home, you know, so I'm a living example of, like, you can have varying opinions. You can have diverse thoughts. It doesn't mean throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to pull it together. I'm like, you know, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus encourage me to blow it apart? No, Jesus would say, it's a secondary issue. Let's come back. Come back. Come back. And this is where I'm forced. The gift to the church, the gift of the church, the gift of church community, and the responsibility of fulfillment requires unity. It requires prayer. It requires perseverance. And so you've been given a gift of church. You have responsibilities to go along with it. Amen? I remember telling my wife, she's like, oh, these are my thoughts. I almost said, these are my thoughts. And I'm like, well, if you're just going to go, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe you're going to grow a third arm. And she said, I'm going to use my third arm, and I'm going to wave to you from the beach in Hawaii. And I think she'll do it. It's a commonality. It's a coming together that I think is a beautiful symbol of the church and the community. Do your part as long for what you're able to do to be at peace with everybody. Here we go. Last part. You're in the home stretch. Have you figured out which parts are real, which parts aren't yet? Let's get into it. You've been gifted adventure. Your responsibility is to follow Jesus. You have been gifted adventure. Your responsibility is to follow Jesus' voice. Blown away. I was reading through the scripture from the Apostle Paul and things that he was saying that he went through as recorded, you know, bits and pieces in Acts, but then he jams them all together. And Paul says this: I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, being put in prison more often, being whipped without number, and faced death again and again. 24 different times the Jewish leaders, 24 different times they've gave me 39 lashes. That's verse 24. Five different times they gave me 39 lashes. Verse 25. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced dangers from rivers and robbers. In cities and deserts and on the seas, I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but who aren't. I have worked hard and long, and during many sleepless nights. I have been hungry, thirsty, and often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. I have the daily burden of the concern of the churches, and I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape. There's part of you that you go, that doesn't sound like an adventure that I want to go on. You see, God adventure and listening to the voice of Jesus' adventure comes back again. Where are you leading your family? Where are you leading them? And so there's a variety of ways that a person can spend their life. We've been given these freedoms, you know, however that goes. My encouragement is that God path is encouraging them to lead their life and not watch somebody else live theirs. In the book of Bon Jovi, chapter 420, he says this: it's my life, it's now or never. I ain't gonna live forever. I'm just gonna live while I'm alive. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bon Jovi. I have a challenge for you in living the life. Take a moment right now, right wherever you're at, if you're listening to this, open up your cell phone, if you have one, if you're in my house, 16 or older. In your settings, you'll have a thing called either digital well-being or screen or screen time or this sort of thing that will log out how much time you've spent on specific apps and in what ways. And I want to share a bit of a story with you. I'm currently in the middle of a family project, and this is one place where dad's trying to lead them out of the desert. Because here's what's happened. Through this last year and a half, it's been go to screens for your schooling, go to screens for your entertainment, go to screens to connect with people. If you feel like reading the news, head to a screen, you know, play a game, jump on a screen, 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 screen. And we had this hilarious, we sat around together and with my kids. I'm like, so like, I'm not going to be mad, just how much screens have you been on? And one of my kids is like, I can't tell you. I'm just too embarrassed. I'm like, no judgment. What is it? 9.5 hours on this one day. I'm like, 9.5 hours on your cell phone? Yep, 9.5 hours. Another one says, oh, that's not bad. I was 10.5. And I'm like, where are your parents? I'm like, oh, that's me. I need to do something about this. So we're on this course of how to navigate out. Where are you leading your family? You see, you've been given a Jesus adventure and a life to live. That's been a gift to you, and you have a responsibility. We start going through, it's like, what happened for like 4 hours on YouTube? And you start going through, it's like, I'm watching other people live their lives while I just sit back with popcorn. And this last year and a half, their dad has set a terrible example. And so I start going through mine. It's like, you know, 4.5 hours, 5 hours. And it's like, I'm watching right now a guy who bought a racetrack in Florida, and I watch him drag race and fix up a racetrack. I'm watching someone else daily live their life while I sit back and eat popcorn. And that is the frightening nightmare of I've been given a gift of life, of adventure in faith in Jesus. And instead, what did I do? I'm watching other people live their lives. Their dad is setting a crap example. Parent, pop up your phone and you take a look too. And so this challenge was a 3-week challenge. I said, I'll give you $100 if you can cut it down to 2 hours a day. And they're like, it's not possible. I'm like, okay, let's negotiate it out. Okay, we'll do 2 hours a day. Plus you can earn another half an hour by being solid. We're doing our family devotions together. You can earn another half an hour chiming in on our family devotions. And you can earn another half an hour by getting hitting your exercise goals for the day. So I can be at 3 hours. Yep, which I'm like, still a lot, but compared to some of these other numbers, it's progress. And so where am I leading the family? I've got to lead them to a place where they live the life that Jesus has for them, not watch someone else live theirs. And so week one went by, and it's like, how was it? Well, one of the other conditions, if you didn't use time in a day, you could accumulate time. Well, my kids are always, you know, that one step ahead, so it's like, I didn't use my tablet that day, so I saved 2 hours. And then it was like Saturday, 10 hours. It's like, what? Like, this wasn't what it was about. So we said at the end of every week, we're going to readjust it. You can still have your 2 hours plus 30 if you earn them, but per day, no accumulation. And your most egregious app, the thing that you're using the most on, you have a 1 hour limit. Set a timer, 1 hour for that. Dad'll do the same. And I can tell you, as someone who's leading my family out of the nightmare, it has its challenges. But the upside, you end up living your life. You end up, the reading a book. I end up picking up a guitar. I end up listening to a podcast and going for a walk. These other things about living my life are really starting to interplay. So we just came through another week, and it was like, that was challenging but doable. So let's ramp this up. Every time they're like, this is so impossible. It's like, I'll throw in $20 more. So now I'm sitting at, I owe them $140 a piece to up the challenge. You get 1 hour plus 30. So for this final week of our experiment, what's my goal? Where am I leading them? Where am I taking my family? We spent so long being afraid of dying that you forgot to live. And so you watch other people live. And my encouragement to you as we come out of all of this, Jesus gave you life. He gave you adventure. You have to follow him and listen to his voice. I guarantee you, Jesus' goals for you are not to watch someone else live their life. What and where are you leading your family? I summarize them these ways. You've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to be his witness. You've been given the gift of church and community to be fulfillment to other people. You've been given life. You've been given adventure. You just have to follow Jesus. And because it's Father's Day, Dad, where are you leading them? If your scenario is Mom, insert here. Mom, where are you leading them? You say, I'm single. Where are you going? Where are you taking this adventure? Where are you going? there's encouragement in the book of Acts that you've been given some gifts. And by the grace of God, we're always given another opportunity to jump on board, fix things, course correct, find forgiveness, and move on. I'd love to take a moment and pray with you. Could you bow your head with me? Jesus, I thank you for each of my friends, the congregation, those listening today. Lord, that you have so much more for us. We thank you for the gifts that you've given. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for salvation in Jesus. We thank you for our church community. We thank you for adventure-filled lives, Lord, and we don't want to take these things for granted. Lord, forgive us for the areas where we have fallen short. Help us refocus and set our eyes back on you. We want to be your witnesses. We want to be fulfillment to others. We want to be followers of your voice. Lord, it's done. Forgiveness for the areas we need it. And Lord, give us fresh minds to head towards the prize. We want to claim it. We want to walk into it. Lord, and particularly for today, for all my dads out there, help them set courses inside of their families. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Father's Day. You have a great day.